You've been watching the news over the last few days. No doubt you've been hearing a lot maybe about corporal punishment in the NFL. I asked the Bible class this morning if any of them had ever been punished with a switch. Many raised their hands out of curiosity. How many of you ever received a switching? Is there anyone in here that did not raise your hand? No. How many of you were ever told to go find the switch? Again. You know, you've been hearing a lot about Adrian Peterson over the last few days. And if you've watched the national news or even the local news, you've been reading about or hearing about Adrian Peterson and his switching his child. As I told our Bible class this morning, I'm not here prepared to make a judgment on Adrian Peterson or anyone else. I do know that I do believe in corporal punishment. I believe the biblical perspective on corporal punishment. The Bible says that the man who refuses to punish his child will reap the consequences of his failure to do so. Now, how severe that punishment was that was inflicted upon his child is yet to be determined. But the ACL, ACLU, and many, many others no doubt would have you believe that it is wrong for you to punish your child or to discipline your child. I tried to tell my father years ago that I didn't believe in capital or corporal punishment. I thought it was capital at that time, but but it didn't work. You know, the Bible says he that would withhold the rod of correction from his child will actually spoil his child. Now, I'm not here this morning actually to debate the ins and the outs of corporal punishment. But what I do want to talk to you about today is the nature of our God. What kind of God is Jehovah God? Some want a God today who has no rules, no responsibility, and no reproof or correction for your violating His will. You know, I've come to believe as I read the Bible, and even without reading the Bible, I've come to believe that every one of us makes mistakes. Is there anyone in this audience who has never, ever made a mistake in your life? No one surely could raise your hand to that one. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, "The Lord disciplines him whom he loves, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens." And as I said, I don't know about Adrian Peterson, and I don't know what kind of pain he inflicted upon his child or the nature of that correction, and I'm not here to argue either way. But what I am here to tell you is that I do believe in the chastening of Almighty God. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 and following, the Bible says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him." There are times when we are rebuked, and there are times when we are chastened of God. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?" I will tell you this morning that if you love your children, you will discipline your children. If you love your children, you will do what is right by them. Our Father is much better at parenting than we are, and it would be a mark of wisdom on our part to actually trust what God says about this subject of chastening. Because you see, there's something about God that we could say that we can't say about ourselves. And that is that our Father is perfect in every way. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the discipline of God. How many of you have ever felt in your life or in your heart that you were being disciplined by God? Anyone? There are times when I feel that God has rebuked me, and there are times when I feel that God has chastened me in some form or fashion. Now, let me explain that to you. The word chasten means to correct. It means that when we are wrong, God wants us to conform to His standard. We make a serious mistake when we equate the word chastening with the word punishment, and there is a big difference. For you see, the word chasten actually means, as I said, to correct. It doesn't mean that you have to punish a child every time that you chasten him. But God corrects us without punishing us, and it is a very difficult thing sometimes for Christians to comprehend. Because they feel like when bad things happen to them, maybe even the loss of a job or the loss of a mate or problems with your children or perhaps with a church member or something goes awry, you have an automobile accident, or you feel maybe in some way or another that all of this has been brought on you because of something you did. And that, my friend, is a mistake to make that kind of judgment. God, I'm not saying God couldn't do that. But what I am telling you is the fact that God has a reason for properly training us. And that really is what that word means more than anything else. And there's a passage of Scripture found in the book of Psalms chapter 94 that I want us to look at. Just several verses here very quickly. Beginning in verse 10, the Bible says, "The one who disciplines nations will surely correct you. He is the one who teaches us everything. The Lord knows what people are thinking. He knows that their thoughts are like a puff of wind. Lord, great blessings belong to those you discipline, to those you teach from your law. You help them stay calm when trouble comes." You ever seen people that just get all worked up out of shape when problems invade their lives? Surely you are, but notice what he says. "You help them stay calm when trouble comes. You will help them until the wicked are put in their graves. The Lord will not leave His people. He will not leave them without help." Let me tell you something this morning. No one will ever love you ever more than your Lord Jesus Christ. And a relationship with our Lord Jesus is the most important relationship you could ever embrace in your life. It is more important than the relationship that you have with your mate, with your children, with the church, with the world, with anyone. Your parents. David said in Psalms 38, verse 1 through 5, "Lord, don't criticize me when you are angry. Don't discipline me in your anger. You have hurt me. You punish me and hurt me deeply. You punish me severely. So my whole body is sore. I have sinned. And now all my bones hurt. My guilt is like a heavy burden. I am sinking beneath its weight. I did a foolish thing." And as I told you in the beginning, I'm not here to tell you that God can't do whatever God wants to do, because God can do whatever He chooses to do. God can choose to bring an end to your life at any moment. Your heart is a muscle that beats very regularly. You don't have to tell your heart to beat. As a matter of fact, even when there is no brain activity, your heart continues to beat. Until it decides to stop, or until God decides to stop it. That's why when they have taken people off ventilators sometimes and there's no brain activity, that the heart continues to beat. It is, Job said, it is the Lord that giveth and the Lord that taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But God can inflict hurt in your life. He can inflict hurt in my life. Just as David said, but I know one thing, that the punishment and the chastisement of Almighty God is given in love. How many of you ever had parents that said, when they punished you, that this is going to hurt me worse than it does you? Did your parents ever say that? Mine did. And you know what? I didn't understand that till I had to punish my own children. Then you come to understand it. I have to think sometimes of Almighty God and how God does at times no doubt punish us. He says, those that I love, I rebuke and I chasten. But let me tell you something else about the chastening of God. His discipline is not influenced by hot anger. His discipline is not influenced by external circumstances. One thing I've learned and I have come to believe and felt, that the Lord does not get embarrassed to publicly correct us. How many times have you ever seen parents, maybe Walmart, Bell's, JCPenney's, the kid's been Holy Terror? I saw a little kid like that one time over in Tyler. He was standing by the escalator in Dillard's. And he would hold onto that thing and try to ride it up the side. You know what I'm talking about? And the mother went over to him and whispered in his ear and did everything in the world she could to get that kid off that escalator. To no avail. I thought, you know, maybe I ought to do something. I said, no. We're going to see how this plays out. I sat there and watched for a little bit. She did everything in the world. She stood back and she pleaded, oh, come on, please. You know how they do. And after a few minutes, the manager walked over to where that kid was. And he leaned over and he whispered something in his ear, and that kid jumped off that escalator like a flash, man. I walked over to him. I said, look, I want to tell you, I really appreciate what you did. I knew that mother was having trouble with that child. I said, what'd you do to get him off? He said, I told him if he didn't get off that thing, I was going to bust his bottom. You've seen kids that act a holy terror sometimes, and parents, you know what they say to them? Now you just wait till we get home. You know what God doesn't say? Wait till you get home. God is not afraid to punish or correct us in public. I think one of the greatest examples of that is found in the book of Joshua chapter 7. It's a story actually about the children of Israel at the Battle of Ai. And you remember how Achan took of the accursed thing and hid it in his tent, the shekels of gold. And Israel lost the battle that day because of one man. You know what? God rebuked Achan. And I can tell you one thing for sure, God is not afraid to rebuke his children. King Saul is another great example. King Saul sinned in secret, but God corrected him before the children of Israel, 1 Kings chapter 12. You can read on and on about different events in the life of Saul. One of those great events occurred, and I was sharing with it that story with our Bible class this morning. And that was when God told King Saul to go down to the Amalekites and destroy all of the Amalekites. Not only the moms and dads, but the children and the animals, everything in the world. And the Bible says that Saul decided not to do that. He thought he knew better than God. And he brought back Agag the king, and he brought back some of the animals, the best animals, slaughtered the others. But his intention was that he would bring back the better animals, and he would use those to sacrifice unto God. But Samuel rebuked him because of it. And because he disobeyed God, he was dethroned. God has a way, because he is never embarrassed to correct his children when they do wrong. That's why the correction of God is always different. And I'm going to tell you something. His correction is not influenced by certain situations. Sometimes parents are afraid to punish their children in public. You've heard the old expression, sometimes the parents wait so long, the child's forgotten what he did. Now, there's a difference between abuse, and I've seen parents that abuse their kids in public, and I'm certainly not for that, and I'm not endorsing that in any way. But when a child disobeys, he ought to be punished. It's like the kid that was acting up in church one time. The father jerked him up and started out, and the kid hollered back, "Y'all pray for me!" I always felt like that. The Holy Scriptures, by the way, are given for three reasons. They are given, first of all, for protection. Do you know why God gave you the Bible? To protect you from hurt. To protect you from yourself. And even from others who might unduly hurt you. But it is given, the word is given for correction as well. Not only protection, but correction. To correct you when you do wrong. To keep you from worse problems down the road. And then thirdly, it is given for direction. You can always keep that in your mind. The word of God is for protection, for correction, and for direction. God directs us in where we need to go. Our Father gives us direction through his word, Psalm 119. For David says, "Thy word's a lamp unto my feet and a light to my pathway." It is direction. "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way except in thy word, O God?" Sometimes we just have to stop long enough to stop, look, and listen to the word of God. And very few people do that in today's world. We're so focused on what we want to do. We're so busy. We're thinking about all the things we've got to do that we don't stop long enough to think, what would God really want me to do in this situation? Well, one thing is certain according to Hebrews 12 and verse 6. We learn that God's hand is the hand of love and discipline. You have seen children some, you know, the Bible says that a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. That's true. You know what that means? It means that a child that is not properly disciplined and given correction and direction in his life will result in a lot of heartache for mom and dad. Now, that does not negate the fact that sometimes when mom and dad have given that child direction and protection and correction, that that child goes astray anyway. That happens too. I understand that. But chances of it happen are much, much less when you give proper correction to a child. I'm going to tell you something. I welcome the correction of God because you know what? I always want to do what's right. I don't want to do what's wrong. I want God to correct me. You've heard people pray, "God, defeat us in those things that are wrong and encourage and bless us in those things that are right." One of the great examples, I think, of the correction of God and the love of God is found in the book of Job. In the 5th chapter, verse 17 and 18, these words are recorded. "Behold, how happy is the man whom the Lord correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore, he bindeth up, he woundeth, and his hands make whole." You know one thing I remember as a child, when I was corrected by my parents, when I got a spanking in East Texas, Adrian was right. We called it a whooping. You remember that? But my father always took me up in his arms and even embraced me and hugged me and reassured me of his love. And my mother did the same. Never felt unloved because they punished me. Always felt guilty because I knew I'd done wrong. That's the way God does us, doesn't he? When we're faced with the chastisement of God, when he corrects us, and maybe sometimes he does punish us, we feel loved. You know what? Abraham of old was right when he says, "Shall not the judge of the earth do right?" You know what? When you're corrected of God, you better appreciate it. Because God may be keeping you from a real problem down the road. Isn't that what he's saying? "For he makes me sore, but he binds up. He woundeth me, but his hands make whole." The Lord corrects the person that he loves. Just as a father corrects the son he delights in, Proverbs 3 and verse 12, he chastens him. And in the book of Revelation chapter 3, and I think it's interesting in this closing book of the Bible, that the Bible would again say something about God's chastisement. And it says, Jesus speaking, "As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent." Revelation 3 and verse 19. Notice that the discipline and love go together. God doesn't discipline us in his anger. And I'm going to tell you something. A parent should never discipline or punish your child in a fit of rage. It is wrong. You don't spank a child to make you feel better, but you spank a child and you chasten a child to make him do better. Punishment is not for your satisfaction. It is not. Never has been. Never will be, not according to God. One of the worst things that we can do sometimes is to get in some lengthy tirade with your children and hollering at them and fighting with words. I've seen that do very little in correcting a child, but I've seen the Board of Correction do a lot. And that's why it's so important. Remember one thing about God. He is not a tyrant. But God is good. He is good. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that, didn't he? When a young man came to him one time and he said, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that's God. And God is good." I'll tell you something else. When I think about the correction of God, he is not influenced by the side effects of correcting his own. That is, God doesn't say, "Well, I wonder what people will think if I correct him." Or, "I wonder what they'll think if I correct my child or my daughter." He is not concerned about what other people think. And people, let me tell you something. If you have children, you need to get out of the mentality of, "What will other people think if I don't correct my children?" I'm going to tell you what you ought to think is this: what will they think if I don't correct them? Our Father in heaven is not influenced by back talk. Isn't. and the wrath of God will eventually befall the unrepentant. If you don't believe that, go to the book of Numbers. As a matter of fact, there was a time when some questioned the punishment of God. It is true. In the book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 41 and following, the Bible says, "The next day all the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. And they said, 'You killed the Lord's people.' And Moses and Aaron were standing at the entrance of the meeting tent," that is the tabernacle, "and the people gathered together at that place to complain against Moses and Aaron. But when they looked toward the meeting tent, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared at that place. Then Moses and Aaron went to the front of the meeting tent, and the Lord said unto Moses, 'Move away from these people so that I can destroy them right now.' So Moses and Aaron moved with their faces to the ground." God's not influenced by your backtalk. You've seen kids sometimes, so they're being punished. You know, they'll put their hands behind them and they'll go through all kinds of incantations, you know. I mean, all kinds of stuff. "Don't whip me, don't whip me, don't whip me." God's not influenced by that nonsense, because he does all things well. Brings me to point number three. His discipline is consistent. You know, some parents are inconsistent. I'm going to tell you something. There is an inconsistency in the NFL right now, if you ask me, brethren. When one man can get in an automobile and take the life of another one and be back playing for the Dallas Cowboys within a few months, with no repercussions. There seems to be some kind of inconsistency there. When a man can be charged with a crime and even indicted over in Carolina and still be allowed to play in the starting home game today because his case is under appeal. And yet you take a man from the NFL for life because he struck his wife in an elevator, or because a man punished his child and left marks on him. The punishment and the chastisement of God is consistent. There are too many inconsistencies in our world today when it comes to the courts. One man can be convicted of a crime, he goes scot-free. Another man can be convicted of a crime and he spends days in prison. One man can be convicted of murder and he gets off scot-free. Another man can be convicted of murder, he deserves a lethal injection. One thing about God is that his punishment is consistent. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. And God tells David, if he disobeys like Saul, he will be punished. 2 Samuel 7, he told Saul to do what he said. Saul refused. God says, David, if you don't do what I tell you to do, you'll receive the same thing. There's no partiality with God. The Bible says in the book of Acts chapter 10 that he is no respecter of persons. You see, there's a hot stove rule, we call it. You play in the fire, you're going to get burned. It's going to happen. Why do you think God gave you parents? Now, mind you, some of them do not execute the will of God. They're interested only in what they want, what satisfies their longing. But parents should guide and teach and correct their children. That's why he gave you parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that thou mayest live long on the face of the earth." If we're going to please God, we must accept His discipline. One last point. His discipline is painful. I'm not telling you that God's punishment and His chastisement and the way He chastens us is without pain. What's the old expression? No pain, no gain. That's true in a lot of circles, isn't it? Israel, God's children, wandered in the wilderness for 40 years because they refused to follow God. That was God's chastisement. You reject me, I'll reject you. Moses was forbidden to go into the promised land. He wandered with the children of Israel for 40 years. But he couldn't go into the promised land because he smote the rock at Rephidim in Kadesh Barnea. God says, because of your refusal to obey me, I will not allow you to go into the promised land. He allowed him to climb Mount Pisgah or Mount Nebo and gaze over into that promised land of Israel, where the land would flow with milk and honey, but God says you cannot enter because you disobeyed me. It was the chastisement of God, the correction of God. And I want to tell you something. Consequences will always follow your disobedience. You see, there are some people who live with a roll of the dice. You know the kind of people I'm talking about. Wherever the dice, whatever it lands on, that's what I'll do. That's the way I'll live. They live by chance instead of living by choice. They do. Let me ask you a question. This morning, you're living by chance, or are you living by choice? We all need to put ourselves in the hands of God. You will either suffer the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. God disciplines for one reason, to bring us to Himself, to bring us to eternal life, to bring us to know His love, to bring us to know His glory, to bring us to seek Him first. Matthew 6 and 33, He brings us to love others. He disciplines us to bring us to the point of where we give all to Him. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. God doesn't ask any more of you than you can perform. Philippians 4 verse 13, Paul says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It is true. Always will be true. Because we're talking about the eternal Word of God. And Jesus said that heaven and earth will pass away, but not my word. It's true. I'll tell you one thing this morning, folks. Time is fading. It is. The sands of time will one day run out. Going through the hourglass right now. And we shall all stand before God in that time of judgment. Romans 14 and verse 10. But the Scripture says, "For we must all appear before that judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things done in the body." Paul said it also in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and following. "Therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." I guess the real question this morning is not whether God disciplines. I think we've satisfied that. I hope we've satisfied it in your mind. But the real question is, are you ready to change your life? God's discipline and His chastisement is for one reason, and that's to get you to change. And if this morning you're ready to make a change, to start serving God, and you may be feeling in your heart right now, God's disciplining me. He is chastising me. And I'm, you know what? I'm fighting against His chastisement. I'm fighting against God. Quit fighting. And come to Him this morning and be baptized for the remission of your sin. While we stand and while we sing.